Acts 14, 22. Acts 14 and 22. I'm younger than most of you. I'm not going to get up here and teach you tonight. Okay? But I am going to try and encourage you. In Acts 14, 22, Paul went back to some churches that he had just had some hard times in as he first visited there. Yep. And he went back confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Confirming the souls. Say that to be to render more firm, to support, to strengthen. That's what I hope that we can do tonight. And exhort you to continue in your faith. If you've been in an old Baptist church for more than a Sunday or two, you've experienced the best news there is on the planet.
Amen.
Continue in that. Yeah. Hang on to it. Yeah. Rejoice in it, not just on Sunday mornings.
Yeah. Yes.
What do our conversations go to in the lunchroom? More often than not, it's trivial, empty little things. Chew on the meat. The good stuff. The things that are focused on your Lord and your Savior and what great things. Exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We got that song about, are we going to go to heaven and beds of roses and ease, right? Is that what was promised? You follow our Christ, you're going to have perfect health and the ideal wealth, right? And anything that you want here in this life. I don't see that in Scripture. Would you say you're a more faithful servant of the Lord than the Apostle Paul? What kind of treatment did he receive? His introduction to it was, I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer for my sake.
Yes.
Ouch.
Amen.
Literally. Well,
that's right.
Do you know who he's going and talking to? This very conversation. We got churches in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Not the one he started from, but Antioch of Pisidia. All right, so he hit those in reverse order. Do you know why he left Antioch of Pisidia? I mean, he taught. And the Jews the first day were, well, okay. But then the Gentiles wanted to hear about it, and the Jews got jealous, and he was teaching, and people were getting excited, and those that were ordained to eternal life believed.
Yes.
But those that weren't got real upset, and they got together with the political leaders, and they expelled him from town.
Yeah.
You ever upset anybody for preaching?
Yeah.
You ever been kicked out of town?
Nope.
Not yet.
Amen.
He left Antioch because he was kicked out of town. He went down to Iconium. And he ticked off people there too. So much so that there was a conspiracy. They were going to get together and stone him. But they weren't real good at keeping secrets. And so the brethren there found out about it. And they got him out of Dodge before they could stone him. You know where he went? Down to Lystra. And he was having a good time there. He was teaching. He was healing. Like, there were some folks who were really confused about who he was. He healed one guy, and they're ready to offer sacrifices to him. He's like, no!
Right.
And he's using that to lift up the one name that needs to be glorified. It's Jesus, not me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Jews from the first two towns found out he's still kind of local. They go down there, and they tell everybody, and they round him up, and they do stone him.
Yeah. Wow.
And we're not talking yard pea gravel.
Right.
All right. I used to throw rocks at cars in church. I was a mean little kid. Folks grew up with me are real surprised where I'm standing right now. I'm real surprised where I'm standing right now. This was not how I plotted my life, Aren't you glad the Lord's got a better way? All right. He tells you to do something, do it. There's a lot of safety in obedience.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So this was not pea gravel that's throwing at him. They're chunking rocks at him with what purpose? To kill him. They're not trying to bruise his feelings. They're bruising his physical body. And they thought they'd done the job. Why did they quit stoning him? They thought he was dead. And after they, you know, left him, he gets up. And y'all ever been stoned for preaching the gospel? Yet? How do you think his body felt? I slept on a couch last night. My back's a little stiff. No, it's just comfortable. It's just illustration, but like little things. You know, I'm 30. I can bend over and tie my shoe and my back will go out now. It's sad. No, I'm older than 32. But I understand. The concept is that these bodies hurt. But I ain't never had rocks chunked at me. Certainly not enough for people that were doing it to think they'd killed me. Preachers, y'all ever gotten discouraged?
Yeah.
You ever feel like you're not being effective? Like you're not seeing results that you want to see? And what do? Pout. Go to our office, our man cave, wherever we go, and we pout. Lord, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. If I'm doing the right thing, why aren't things better? And sometimes we kind of let our foot off the gas. Right? Paul got up. He left town. You know where he went? The next town. Same region. He was there for a little time. You know where he went after that? Back to those same three towns. Stoning, attempted stoning, and then kicked out of town. Do you need to be a little encouraged today? Do we sometimes feel like things are a little too hard and we just kind of want to give up, put our heads in the sands? And I know I got a lot of preachers I'm looking at. And I kind of got a feeling that if I've experienced this in my short little 5 years of pastoring, you've probably experienced it too, where you're getting the mully grubs.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it could be a whole lot worse.
Come on, brother.
And you don't get to quit then either. So keep going. For your own sake and for the community that you have been put in by your Lord to minister. And notice I said that's bigger than the church building. Okay? There's a flock that you have a special charge of. Yes, it's your pastor. Absolutely. But you get to minister to the whole community.
Amen.
You have that opportunity. There are sheep in your community laboring under chains of bondage because they have some bad doctrine.
Yeah.
That's a lot of them. Here in the Bible Belt, that's a lot of them. But you know what? More and more in our country, there are a lot of sheep who just don't know squat. They don't know anything. Like they have not been exposed to the truth. Have you ever talked to somebody here in this state or state, wherever you're from, and they really didn't know anything about Jesus?
Yes.
That's a foreign concept for us who grew up in the church. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I do a Bible study on Tuesday mornings. I have to get up and go to a coffee shop at 6:30 in the morning. There's 4 or 5 men in the community who meet me every Tuesday. One brought his grandson one time. 12-year-old boy. We did our Bible study and we're going through Hebrews. It's great fun. We've been in Hebrews 11 for about 6 months. I'm just making them go through the whole, every reference. Well, let's go look at Genesis. Anyway, good fun. But this young boy, after we're done, I get to talk to him. I mean, we started in, who's God? Where did the world come from? I mean, just like blank slate as you can get. Okay? Is this worthwhile doing?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
What if they never come to church?
That's right.
Every conversation you have about your Lord and Savior is a profitable conversation.
Yes.
That is a good use of your time. I'm not just talking to preachers right now.
Amen.
Okay? It is good use of your time. That is valuable. Do we waste time? Something other than Bible. Bible, that's not waste time. All right? We waste a lot of time, but if you are talking about your Lord, that's not wasted time.
Amen.
Well, what if they don't believe what I say? What if they despise it? There's going to be one or two reactions. You got believe and you got despising. That's kind of the ball of wax. And what controls that is not you. That's where the Lord has done in that individual or not done. And do you know what you look like as a child of God before you've been born again? You look like a despiser. Is that still a profitable use of your time? Yeah. I mean, you would love to be able to talk and everybody you talk to gets excited and happy about the Lord. Is that what happened when Jesus taught?
No.
Are you a better teacher than Jesus?
No.
Why do you expect a higher return? How about Paul? Well, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If you're telling the truth and you're speaking in love, with the idea of I want to share with you something that is good and valuable and it's encouraging, because that's kind of what evangelism is, right?
Yeah.
Being the bearer of good news, not I got the hammer to show you why you're wrong.
Mm.
Ooh. Right? Mm. Good use of time. Good use of time. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I did look at the time it started, so we're going to be okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Does that say only in the church house? I don't see any qualifiers on that of where I'm allowed to preach the word. Do you know where Paul would often preach the word? Wherever he found somebody. He tended to find them where they congregated at the synagogues when he's talking to Jews, right? He'd give them a lot of Old Testament information because they knew it,
yeah.
Right? He'd say, look here and look here and look here. This is what the scriptures say. You know the scriptures. You know Jehovah. You know this is what he said. I'm telling you how it's been done.
Amen.
Here's the man, right?
Amen.
And he died and he rose again. What does he get to? The resurrection. What's kind of the key for what we talk about? The resurrection. I've been on a kick with the resurrection for like 3 or 4 weeks. I love it. It's great. And guess what? You're not impressed enough with it.
Yeah.
All right. Might get a little mean here, right? I want you to think about the last funeral you went to. What happened there? Somebody you know and loved, their body is there. It went in the ground. Now, I want you to imagine that you are somewhere out in town, maybe Walmart, and you run into that person. Whoa! Is that not going to blow your mind?
Yeah.
Who are you going to call? Everybody!
Right.
You don't understand. They were dead. I saw they were dead. And now they're alive. What do you think is going to be the first thing you say to anybody you ever meet again? You will never believe who I saw at Walmart. Okay? You say, that's a silly example. And why would you go there? It was because Christ is alive! And if he's not, there's no point to being here.
That's right.
My preaching's vanity, your faith is vanity. All that in 1 Corinthians 15 about those who didn't believe in the resurrection. Paul's like, do you really understand the magnitude of what you're saying? That means Christ didn't arise. And there's no point to any of this. But he did. He did. This is the great news. So whenever you are out sharing the gospel, get to that point. Right? If you're talking to the Jews, you start with the Old Testament. But what do you get to? You run to Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection that he is alive. How did Paul approach the idol worshipers there on Mars Hill? Right? He starts with the thing they had in common. Well, y'all are worshiping the unknown God. Let me tell you about him.
Yeah.
This is the creator of the heaven and the earth, and he's living. He's not far off. He's close, and he's active, and he sent one.
Yeah.
This man, this God.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Christ, who was dead and is now alive. And he is going to judge the world. This is the crux of the gospel. Yes, he died for our sins according to the scripture, but it doesn't stop there. And he rose on that third day. He rose from the grave according to scripture.
Right?
This is great, great, great news. And it should impress us more. What do we allow to cloud our mind every day with things that are way less important, and they bother us and they disturb us because we forget this fact that Jesus is alive? You say, well, Brother Jonathan, I don't forget that. I know you know it, but sometimes we act like it's not as big of a deal as it is. Because he is alive, let's put it short, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may have great tribulation here while you're faithfully serving him. That's okay too. He kind of told you that was coming. But it is going to be okay because he is a victorious Savior who God accepted that sacrifice, and he rose from the grave and he lives and he reigns today. He's not far off. You can approach him now, but one day, talk about the resurrection. Let's talk about, that was a resurrection of one. The first fruits.
Yeah.
There's another resurrection.
Amen.
You should have seen that little boy's face when I started talking about people coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
People watch zombie movies and that's the idea. Well, that's just gross. You gotta have a virus or something. I mean, but you're gross and you're distorted. It's nasty. Like, no! A resurrection that we cannot even wrap our heads around. And Paul uses these natural examples of, okay, well, what happens in your garden? You put dead seeds in the ground and something different, something living, some different body comes and grows. It's great. It's wonderful. He says, look for that pattern. It's not going to be this weak form, the one that's hurting as you're sitting on the benches, the one that's tired and wondering when this young guy is going to be quiet. It's the one who's excited that I'm in the presence of God and I'm in a form where I can worship him perfectly because he's done this work and I am rejoicing in that hope here and now, and it's coming.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. We should be the happiest people on the planet. And when we're looking at the author and finisher of our faith and we're remembering what he's done, it can be. Not happiness is in the absence of pain or the absence of discomfort or the absence of fear, but a reality of that the one who's in charge has taken care of it.
Oh, yes.
And his son has told me, I'm safe in his hand.
Yeah.
And I'm not stronger than him. And neither are you. And you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
You're secured. And one day he's promised that he's going to come get you. Right? And if you're alive at that day, what a day. Right? What a day of rejoicing that will be. Sometimes on Sunday mornings you're a little sleepy. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. No, what a day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, he's here. So let's live like he's coming.
Yeah.
Alert, sober, watchful, waiting. Not, Lord, don't come right now. I've got this to take care of, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Sometimes we're like kind of push it off there a little bit. Whatever you're planning, this is better.
Yeah.
Infinitely better. Lord, come quickly.
Yeah.
But in the Lord time, in the meantime, Lord, let me be faithful about your service.
Yeah.
Let me stand fast in your face. Let me open up my mouth and share the good news of the gospel, right? Here's what I've been praying in my hometown. I'm praying that there will be a hunger for the truth. Okay? Can you make anybody hungry? No, me neither. But I can go to the one who can. I can ask him about it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Pray for a hunger of truth. Pray for opportunities to speak to those that are hungry. And then pray for boldness to open your mouth. Preachers and non-preachers.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're praying for hunger and you're praying for opportunities, what do you think you ought to start looking for? The Lord answering your prayers. Right? We should ask expecting the Lord to answer. Right? If we're asking things that please Him, that's reasonable to expect an answer.
Yeah.
It may not be in the form you're looking for. May not be how you're looking for it. It may not be in your timing. And it also says don't get discouraged with your prayers. You know, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. Even if you get stoned, keep asking. And then as you have those opportunities, open your mouth. Well, preacher, that's a little scary. Yeah! Guess who was real comfortable hiding behind a computer, playing with contracts, and not talking to people? I had no desire to go to court. I'd have to talk to people. I'd have to stand before a judge. How intimidating. Right?
Wow.
Open your mouths. Well, how? I mean, the gospel is so big. How can I talk about the gospel? Acts, let's see. Is it chapter? Oh, me, where was it? No, it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go there real quick. I will give you the gospel in 2 verses. It will not explain everything, but it's a good starting point. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that I also received. Who did Paul receive this from? Jesus Christ Himself. That's a pretty good source. Yeah. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. All right, that's part one. That's a summary of the gospel. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried. Don't stop there. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then you don't even have to say the rest necessarily, but paraphrasing. And He was seen of folks. He didn't, oh, well, the disciples just said He rose, but no one ever saw Him. No, He was seen by His apostles. He was seen by 500 folks in one time. You know, as an attorney, I would love to have that many witnesses on my side.
Right.
You get 2 or 3 people to agree on one thing, well, okay, you win your case. 500.
Yeah.
That's a lot of folks.
Yes, it is.
Eyewitnesses, and Paul has spent the rest of his life declaring this, even to be stoning and not giving up, being stoned and not giving up. He said, this is true. Otherwise, we're just liars. Right? Here's your summary of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What are the Scriptures all about? Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end. It's about Him. It's either talking about what He's going to do or what He's done or what He's yet going to do when He comes back. It's a good story. Read it. Early and often, then talk to your pastor about it. They want to hear from you.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Ask them questions, even if it's in school, right? All right. This is good. This is profitable. This, I want to encourage you, whatever is bothering you, whatever is hindering your walk with the Lord, whatever it is, lay it aside. Look to your author and finisher of your faith. Look to Jesus Christ, knowing that He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and He's advocating for you.
Yeah.
And He loves you.
That's right.
And He loves a lot of sheep in your community, too.
Yeah. That's right.
And if you love the least of one of mine, wouldn't it be a good thing to tell them about Him? What an encouragement it is to know the truth. What a comfort it is, right? It may be hard for you. You may have people not be happy with you. You may not have any opportunity that you feel like it's going to be effective at all. But you're being obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
Do the work of an evangelist. That's what I didn't even get to that over in Timothy. That's what I was trying to get to. But other good stuff. I don't have enough time to go much farther. It's worthwhile.
Yeah.
It's profitable. Do it, okay? We can approach our lives consciously, unconsciously, verbally, non-verbally, that has this approach to people. right? You ever not wanted to talk to somebody in the grocery store? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Not make eye contact. I'm not going to talk to you. Right? We know how to let people know, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
It's awful hard to be an evangelist with that kind of approach, mm-hmm. right? After Paul left the synagogues, where did he go in Athens? The marketplace. Amen. I'm not saying you need to set up shop in Publix, but the idea is he went where the people were.
Right?
Right? How do most people going to find out about the existence of your church today? Digitally.
Yeah.
Okay? Do you ever go anywhere without doing at least 30 seconds of research about where that thing is? If you don't, okay. I would imagine that folks my age and down, we don't go anywhere without doing a quick search. All right? So this is free practical advice. Take it or leave it. Make yourself so that you can be found. You got the best news on the planet and we hide it.
Yeah.
Well, the folks just knew that we meet on this particular weekend for our annual meeting and we don't tell anybody about it and our church is literally not on the map.
Amen.
And we'll invite one or two people in person, but no one else. Let the news get out.
Mm-hmm.
Have a website. It's not hard. Find somebody young. They'll do it for you for next to nothing. Make sure that on Google, your church is there and in the right location. Put a picture of it. You know, that's part of one of the things I do. When I go to a church I've never been before, I take a picture of the outside and take a picture of the sign and I put it on Google. Because then people who are looking for it know what it looks like and know when they meet. 30 seconds. All right? The idea is make yourself accessible, both as a local body and as individuals. Right? We've got great news. Be willing to share it. Okay? Now, whether you have a website or not, I don't care. But the idea is that I want you to have people in your community who know what you know, okay? And they need to be able to find you, okay? Is this worthwhile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can make you a little uncomfortable at times?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you get in some really just kind of not fun situations? Sometimes. Now, I'm not saying do anything dangerous. Don't put yourself in harm's way. I mean, make wise decisions. But the idea is that you're looking for an opportunity to brag on your God. We're more than willing to brag on grandkids and kids and sports teams and whatever our political persuasions are. We'll brag on them all the time as long as they're doing what we want. Brag on your God. He'll never let you down. And guess what? You can't brag enough. He's that much better. You aim as high as you can go and you're bragging. And he's better. That's worthwhile. Thank y'all. Lord bless you.